Okay.
Okay, we have board time, Wednesday, March 25th at 2:35.
Okay, welcome, welcome. The first item on is the approval of minutes. That's 1.1. We have March 11 and March 18. I have some corrections for March 11. Shall I share them?
Yeah, but before we pass it, you might.
Okay. All right, here, I'll let you see. A little typo on the first one where right here, this word belongs on that line, and because someone got left here by itself. And over here, there's the last line under consular reports. It says, we got two kind of conversations mixed up into one here. Anna Miller, executive assistant to Council Limador, joined the discussion and spoke about a more defined timeline. In reality, it was spoke about providing board time, agenda, and supporting documents to staff and counselors in a more timely manner. So that helps to know what that conversation was about, not about the grid about what's posted on the grid, but basically to get the documents to everybody so that you can do your homework, because you're such a homework doer.
Yeah, but I've been asking for that for a month or 2 months. So
asking for what?
We get this? The board agenda earlier, and that we get documents that we need that are associated.
We are failing, and we're going to make that high jump yet.
Yeah, just to remind the board, I think the agreement was that we'd strive to have those materials ready by Friday, the week prior. So that is a goal to strive for.
It is a goal.
If you validate that goal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let me give you a little context.
And I did miss the mark on my two items, so I'm aware.
Because you're our newest member, I'll let you know what I inherited when I got here. We got the agenda
all
at
good.
The meeting. Nothing before. It was all a surprise. So we have made great, great gains here.
You know, everything, it's always good to have things in perspective, isn't it? So my perspective just expanded. Excellent. Excellent job.
Okay, we've got a B+ now at least. Maybe B-. But we will strive for an A.
We're going
That's
for an
right.
A.
Okay.
So do you choose to approve those subject to those changes, and we'll make them and have you sign them?
Yes, and I'll be happy to hand in my copy. So would you like to make a motion?
I move that we approve the minutes of the March 11. Is that March 11 or
March
18?
11.
The March 11.
With the corrections.
Board time meeting with the amendments as requested per David Medore.
I'll second that.
Okay, any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All right, motion passes. Okay, we can hand that in.
Thank you.
Just ignore the highlighting. The only thing that changes there is what's in ink. Okay, ready for March 18. I'm good with it.
You're good with it?
Mm-hmm.
So, I move for approval of the board time minutes of March 18, 2015.
And I'll second that.
Any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Okay. All right, so that's 1.1. 1.2, letter to legislators regarding the 10th Avenue Extension Project.
Okay, councilors, I mentioned on Monday during our one-on-ones, Bill Wright, our transportation guy, and Heath is here, so he can add anything he would like to this. The letter that we're proposing that we send to our legislative delegation and to others, Curtis King, for example, has to do with the Public Works Trust Fund Loan Program.
Which is a wonderful program.
And there's some specifics and a generality. The specifics is that we had $15 million in Public Works Trust Fund loans for 10th Avenue that were swept a number of years ago. And we received approval for $7 million in a subsequent loan cycle, and it appears as though there might be a move afoot to sweep those monies a second time.
My goodness.
And so we would like our delegation to fight against that, to support the program in general, and to support funding for 10th Avenue in particular.
For the agenda.
Did I cover that?
Yes.
Adequately?
Good. I'm very good with it.
So I would just ask that the board approve the concept of sending this letter, and after the board time, if you would all sign, I'd appreciate that.
You got a copy of that letter there?
I'd be very glad to sign that. I think that there is another version of the board agenda.
Oh, there is?
Tom, do you have a 2.1 and a 2.2?
Yep.
I don't. I'm
really.
I'm gonna.
Well,
yeah. You don't have it.
We just don't want you to know as much as we do.
Let's share.
Show for the show.
So we'll share.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that. I don't know how it happened.
This is Stuart and Stuart.
Oh. That was misinformation given to me. Then I'm sorry.
Okay, so you want to make a motion to everybody sign that this letter?
I make a motion that we sign the letter to. Now, is this the letter is specifically for the 10th Avenue Extension project?
Yes, and in support of the program in general.
Oh, good.
Just talking about the history of it and all the fine works that jurisdictions have been able to complete with that funding.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. So I move for approval of the letter to legislators regarding the 10th Avenue Extension Project, including the discussion about the importance and need for the State Public Works Trust Fund.
Mm-hmm. As proposed.
As proposed.
Well, second.
Okay. Any more discussion? I just have one, and that is the example letter just is to one legislator, but the same form is to go to each of the legislators.
Exactly right.
Okay. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. That's 1.2.
Okay.
Okay. 1.3 is from Tom, you're up. Sale of excess property.
Oh, I just wanted to be brief as to where we are. One of the things I didn't remember, we were reconsidering Hazeldale property. We hadn't been talking about the paint store very well. We kind of mentioned it and it went off on our own, and I don't think there's ever any consideration of putting a for sale sign on.
No, we are selling. I think we're selling it to the chiropractor next door, or he has a first right of refusal, and so we're working with the chiropractor who owns the property just to the south.
Oh, good.
Great.
Good, good. And Hazeldale, Big Farm?
That's the one
that we were talking about keeping that for a stormwater facilities 20 years from now, and I'm saying because we don't have it on a 20-year plan that we should sell it and look for something in 20 years.
Yeah, and this is one we looked at pretty hard, and I know our recommendation was that we not sell it, partly because the transportation plan can change from year to year to year, and if that project were to move forward, what we've looked at is given the new stormwater requirements that having that property alone is likely not enough as it is, and that we would need additional property.
Well, I really think that we need more than in 20 years. If that project goes forward, everything's an if. But in the meantime, it's sitting there idle. We get to maintain it. And we don't know if we're ever going to do that. I would like to put that on the market to sell, and if we need something later on, we buy what we need. But we're talking not in my lifetime or maybe yours.
Actually, what I would suggest is that you guys talk more one-on-one and look at the different options. You already have?
I don't want to talk to him anymore.
Yeah, the lemon, lemon has no juice left in it.
Oh, okay.
It's time to get a board decision.
You agree with him or you agree with me?
Well,
I'm done talking.
Okay, if you're done, that's fine. I need to have one-on-one to make sure that we understand much more about it than what we can cover thoroughly here, to make sure that I hear you out, look at the maps, and consider the plans, and all of that's not before us here. So at this point, I'll put it on my agenda to make an appointment with you and go over that.
So my argument is I can be cutting taxes on that for 20, maybe 30 years.
No.
We may not ever build that road. And we exist off property taxes here. And there's also one at Kitty Corner across the street. And we don't know in 20 years if that's even going to be considered or if that's where it's going to be needed. And that's the reason I think it's excess. And I can't see sitting on it that long.
And this is called, you termed it the pig farm property. Yeah. Okay.
Well, this is the Hazel Dell property. The Leduc farm is just
Leduc
north.
Farm.
The Leduc farm is just north. And we actually looked at the Leduc farm a little bit because we are, according to staff, I don't want to disagree with Councilor Mielke, but we are going to need maybe more property in the future when we widen. And there is a property that's undeveloped across the street, but that's owned, I think, by the Faith Baptist Church. And one of the important things is this parcel in particular, but the one across the street, they're undeveloped. And I agree with Councilor Mielke, it's going to take a while to get down the road to where we may need that stormwater facility. But one of the things this parcel has going for it is it's undeveloped. If somebody puts a house on it, then, you know, the more we build out and the more we don't have undeveloped property, the more we're going to pay down the road.
Okay, there's more conversation to be had on that, two-way conversation and in depth. And I think, I assume, Councilor, you want to be able to make sure that you have, you like to do your homework too.
Yeah, but no, I want to just say that to go out and buy property later can be excessively expensive and time consuming. And if we have the property available now without having to condemn property, that kind of land for that kind of purpose is an asset that's in the bag. And I'd be hesitant to sell it. If we have any real expectation of a need and a location, and and if we decide we don't need it, we can sell it in the future. I think further, the case being made that we know we would need a larger parcel, and the property just north is still vacant, still gives us more options there, or at least part of that property is vacant. So it would give us the opportunity to buy that to get a project, to get the adequate land together for it. So I'd be real hesitant to sell it. So
I don't disagree either. I mean, if we don't need it, you know, we should sell it.
Yeah.
I think it's a risk-based decision in that if for some reason that project were to move forward sooner than later and we had sold the property, we could be in the position that Axel describes where we're going in and we're having to not buy vacant property, but we're having to buy those homes that were built on it or whatever is built. And we've done it before, and it's...
Yes. And I hear both sides there, and the best way I know to respond is to make sure I respect both sides by making sure that I do my homework and make sure that I know which way to respond. So at this point, it's the best way I know how to respect
both sides. Well, I have a great argument going to my next segue to buy future land for projects that probably be done before that one, and that is to purchase the property at St. John's and 72nd that Webolt has done the clearing on.
Is that on here?
No, I just brought that up since you did the lead
into
it.
3.2.
You said that we should have properties when we have plans of rebuilding roads.
Segue back around.
There's a good chance that we're going to build that road before we build that one 20 years from now, when we think about it in 20 years. So I would encourage our public works to look into that with the possibility of purchase.
Okay. Well, why don't I do? I'll add that conversation to that same meeting with
you. Is that a locational trade? Is that
different neighborhood?
So that's. So it's St. John's and 72nd?
Yes.
Street?
Yes.
It's
on.
It's actually, yeah.
Yeah, it's on 3.2. Number 3.2.
Okay. So St. John's and 72nd Avenue.
It's called the Weibolt.
Weibolt.
I'm guessing okay. that we're going to build that road before we widen Hazeltail.
All right, so that's which, to be researched.
Which road are you talking? This is St. John's at 77.
Right here.
So where is the road going to go? Is it going to go
line there? Line up with the...
Okay. That's not on the arterial atlas, is it?
No, I think that is the difference between these two projects, is that Hazeldale Avenue is on the arterial atlas mm-hmm. and the St. John's okay. extension is not.
So you know what Councilor Milkey is asking mm-hmm. for. So, okay, so we'll meet with that. So is it okay if we move on?
It lines up with
just
the
simply
mosque.
Count this for homework to be done to research.
119 is up here. There we go.
Okay,
lines,
so that's
lines up right here.
3.2. So we covered 3.2. In other words, the action on that is go do homework. Okay. Is there anything else on 1.3, Tom?
Mark was shared with me a list of properties. I don't think it's up to me to go find these pieces of properties to be considered excess. I would like to have someone bring them to me instead of me go out and find them.
Well...
To narrow that down, I'd like to see all the farms that we own.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll get you those.
Why? To get the revenue?
In the past, we had a habit of buying farms so that we could have the 1 acre riparian area in the back of it. And so we bought the whole farm, and then we leased the farm back to the guy we bought it from. Mm-hmm. And it's not the way it's supposed to work.
That is, or is
that's
not
the way it's supposed to work. We should have gone in there, bought the farm, took the riparian area off of it to preserve that, and then put the farm back on the market.
Okay. So that's also... And Mark, part of the transparency project, you're working with GIS to upgrade the map viewing tools to include the specifics so that you can find these things so much easier and learn
yes.
more about them. So that's
exactly right.
Also the way through the process.
Yeah, there are 6 links under county land on the transparency page, one of which lists surplus property being considered for sale. And if you click on that link, it brings up a map, and there are little green dots where the parcels are that are surplus.
You got the map going. Great.
Certainly, the board can add green dots at their discretion. Many of these are tax title properties that the treasurer has, simply because the landowner is defaulted on their taxes.
Okay.
Some of these are right-of-way remnants that are of little value.
So right now, to make it easier, let's bring back next week the list of farms.
Okay.
But Tom, why would you call it a farm? It might be a sizable portion of land, but it might not be being farmed. It might be...
We purchased the land to get the riparian area.
Yeah, understood.
We need to cut that off and then put that land back up on the market for sale.
Yeah, but I don't... If he's looking for those, it's not going to say farm, is it?
But it has zoning. It would be ag, rural, or forest. So it would be...
So
do,
is
do
that
they
the
retain?
I'm just saying, I think we could help him if we gave him criteria instead of just saying a farm.
Because
I wouldn't know what to look for.
Should the county own farms?
We do own, I know on 199th, I think we have a number of parcels that are blueberries or raspberries that we lease to farmers. On the south side, I think there's a forested area that might be riparian. So that's something we can look at.
So I think you wanted to know, Tom, about potential property that the county owns that's not on the tax rolls, that we have no plans for it, and somehow we're serving as landlords or, you know, as for leasing out property and we're the wrong party potentially. And so Mark, what you already have in the works there as you're working with GIS to be able to make these things much more viewable and visible, and you can produce reports pretty soon and answer some of these more specific questions.
And every department that owns land has performed an analysis on each of their parcels to determine whether or not they're surplus. And like I mentioned in a work session previously on this subject, that I have a great deal of faith in our folks, and if they tell me that the land is not surplus and that they have a valid use for it, then that's good enough for me.
Well, now, maybe this board has a different opinion.
It very well could. Now, on the farmland, what I would propose we do is look at the revenue we get from leasing it to a farmer and compare it to the property taxes we might get if we sold it. In some cases, the revenue from leasing the land would exceed the property tax revenue, and it would make sense to hang on to the land.
And that's what they did back in the old days in England. The government owned it all, and they cut off their tax money.
At this point, the action follow-up on that is to continue to finish up that program heading up.
I'll just see that. Yeah, just have them, just bring me a list of them.
I'll find out to whom we are leasing land that's used for farming and whether or not we acquired it.
I want to see it.
Okay.
We'll bring it to you.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Is that wrap up?
Will
one
you
point?
Bring it to all of us?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. We can bring it back here.
Well, certainly any sale decision will involve all three of you, so yes.
Want to just.
Well, we've always been too broad in the past, so I thought we narrowed that down.
Yeah.
We'll get something.
Daybreak property, for example, it's on the Lewis River. We have a master plan for it. We lease it to somebody, and they grow hay on it, so we have a little revenue coming in until we can actually develop it.
Will it be park or?
It'd be a park.
It's going to be a park.
Great.
But there are other parcels we lease that will never be a park.
Sure, of course.
So,
thank you.
So the question is, what identified purpose is the eventual view future? Okay, is that wrap up number 1.3 for you, Tom?
Yep.
Okay, you want to? You still got something for 1.4?
No, I'm down at 3.1.
Oh, you want to jump to 3.1? Okay.
Sure. Heath, was you going to bring more information to me about those road barriers on 109th and St. John's?
Yeah.
I still see people driving around them.
We have the history with those barriers is prior to St. John's being improved, this is where 109th Street crosses St. John's Road, just to the west of where 72nd Avenue is. And it's kind of a skewed intersection. But before we improved St. John's, we had a series of accidents at that location and one fatality. And as a result of that, when we went through the grant funding process, we had TIV funds as well as federal funds to improve St. John's, and a part of that was access management and putting in those medians to not allow people to cross or make a left turn lane because of the prior history of accidents there, and then we've actually made the road wider so people have to travel further. So at this point, we with the medians are in and with the traffic loads right there now, it wouldn't justify a signal. So as far as what the traffic is, there's no warrants to require other improvements there at this time. And given the history of the reasons why we're there, our recommendation is to leave them in.
Well, you made improvements to that intersection. And then in addition to the improvements, you put the barriers up.
Right.
And the improvements was it did not come perpendicular to St. John's. So now the roads, they bought more land and made them perpendicular, so you don't have to look over your shoulder or something like that to go across that intersection. So that alone was enough to improve the safety factor of the intersection. But what happens now with that barrier there, they go in the left turn lane and back out and back around, or they go down to that cut through. That's far more dangerous than if they were able to just cross. I mean, if they could go opposite on the left turn lane and then come back out and then go over and then go on 109th again, traffic's not that heavy. So I would think that we probably should take a look at it other than say someone died there one time. We've already made improvements to that intersection that the barriers are not necessary.
Yeah, and we'd have to look into the what the traffic, if people are doing that right now, obviously, it's an illegal movement.
Uh-huh.
And, part of our challenge was is just the risk associated with pulling them out, and then if we do have an accident, then we're potentially liable for that, given that we used prior accidents as part of the justification for putting them in.
Okay.
So, and I think we do allow for the U-turns at the intersection, as I recall, at 72nd, so people have to go the other way. They can go up to 72nd and come back. Or they can go out 109th and back around.
Well, part of the things that we're doing when we're doing this, see how they improve that?
Mm-hmm.
You're putting more load on the new traffic light that you put on St. John's and 72nd. So anytime you get to people, and that's the same idea of going straight through at 72nd and St. John's to unload that next intersection. But if you keep forcing people to go back into the intersection, you load that intersection up. And we've done the same thing down by Costco, too. And we've made some changes there. So by the own actions that we've had, we load up the new intersections that we build. And this intersection here, there's a picture of it right here. I could turn around and show it to you. We made a huge improvement to that. You can see the way it used to come at an angle, a pretty steep angle, all the way from here, right straight across is what it used to do. When it's done, all this neighborhood's back in here, it isolates them. Either they go back through the intersection there or they come up here. They actually drive through here and back here. They come out of here, drive through here, and out to there. Or they go down here. There's a cut through right here somewhere. And they cut through there. So if we're talking safety, it seems like it'd be a far safer to allow that to go straight across there or come out and make a left turn one way or the other. They can't even come out here and make a left turn.
Is this the barrier, Tom?
Yeah. They added that when they made the road perpendicular.
Yeah, so you've got a left-hand turn, but you can't cut across. Heath, have we ever stationed folks out there to observe the behaviors?
We have.
There's no place to park along the side. You just park on this.
Well, we could drop somebody off with a lawn chair and
lemonade.
Let me tell you, they'd be there for a long time. The traffic isn't that heavy.
No, it's heavier on Andreessen.
I mean, we could look at see if the illegal movements are happening. I mean, that's an enforcement issue.
Yeah. No, just when in the moment that I drive by, I've seen it three times.
Really?
In the moment that I drive by. So you can imagine during the rest of the day.
It must have been going really slow.
No traffic. I don't want to tell you how fast they go.
Okay, so you're going to look into that, and that's one more conversation I hope to have with you, Pete.
you see the improvement that we made, a drastic change in that road.
Okay.
And I'll go out and look at it myself and try to see how it looks to me.
And when we got enough input, we'll go talk about it again, okay?
Okay.
Okay, anything else? Where do you want to go next, Tom?
Back to 1.4.
You know, it's our Veterans Garden up and running.
Oh, is it? Oh,
hell yeah. They were waiting for us to give them permission. And, wonderful. You know, it's a great thing. I just was going to give you a bad time about it.
Fabulous. That's not for sure, too.
And it has raised beds for the guys in wheelchairs.
Yeah.
Great. Wonderful.
What was I going to talk about?
Oh, there's actually garden plots, too. I didn't know that would happen.
Wonderful. And that was all envisioned or championed by Judge Darvin Jones?
Yes, it was. In the interest of following our agenda, we've sort of drifted into councilor reports.
We
still have items above that. We should.
Good point. So, if we're going to follow according to what's on here, you got anything for 1.4, Tom?
No.
Okay. So moving on to new business 2.0, 2.1, just brief discussion.
Oh, yeah, 1.4. We talked briefly, informally about this, and we're putting things up on the grid that is not a an agreed upon draft or project. And so when I get a phone call, I don't know what they're talking about because I'm not aware of it at all. So I wanted to make sure that at least two of us was aware of what new things being put on the grid so that we're not surprised. I know that you've been real active under Alternate 4, understandable, the short time frame and what we're trying to do, but we have other things that either our staff or PIO is putting up on the grid. I think that we should be informed of it so that we know what's happening.
I think you might be referring to the original draft that had to do with the right to work and the transparency, and what that was is just simply
practice. Another one, yeah.
What that was is our standard practice of the packets that we receive during our public meetings, whether it be board time or our BOCC meetings, and that those were included, that they become what gets posted on the grid. That's where those came from. That was part of our original package.
If we start posting everything up like that, that means this wad of paper I have right in front of me is now public record. It's going to be up on the grid tonight, and that's not necessary.
So you're saying the product of a conversation.
Yes.
Unless we agree that we want to move forward with it, should not be posted on the grid.
Even PIO, I would like to know what's being posted in addition to what we have.
Yeah.
Just so it's transparent to us, too.
What I'm aware of is I know that we may bring some different things, but the package that is our agenda, normally both for VOC meetings out there in the unit room as well as here, our practice of transparency has always been to, in these open public meetings, to present whatever documents we have, that also gets made available to the citizens.
So we're going to put on the grid the conversation we had about 109 in St. John's? I'm saying that to be ridiculous, because it's not likely that we're going to put it there.
It'll be posted in the context of this meeting as a discussion.
Yeah, in the context of adopting a draft or in bringing it on the consent agenda makes more sense. But to say it's something that we worked on or we talked about, that means that we'd be posting on the grid conversation about 109th and excess property. And we're not going to do that.
Well, those aren't documents. Those are verbal conversations. We don't have documents for those.
Well, it's right there.
Well, that's not one of these.
So
we're not doing that anyway, Tom. Our agenda.
Well, no, we've done it a couple times just recently. One was with our transparency stuff. We put that up there. You put that up there as a draft.
Well, that was part
before
of
we talked about it
that we distributed here. They were printed documents that we had at our board times.
Well, I think we should agree that we put it on the grid. We could talk about something here, but until we agree that hey, this is good information to be on the grid, rather than just conversation steps along the way, because we're getting phone calls or people coming and testifying about things that are not really happening.
Am I giving an example?
I think one of the...
I just gave you two of the more recent ones, and yet the alternate four is more explanatory because of the time frame that we're trying to do it and the open houses that we're having. That's explanatory, it's understanding. But the one when we talk about the transparency, we hadn't seen it or agreed upon it yet before it was already on the grid. That's what I'm talking about. And there's more. There's other things before that. And you weren't the only one. We've had things put up there by our PIO that I wasn't aware of.
I don't know what you're speaking of.
I think
we put the state of the county on there, which was... Don't you think that's appropriate? We put our speeches on there. That's part of the providing transparency.
I would say it'd be appropriate to put our speech up there after the fact.
It was. We waited.
I think it was up there before the, before we had it.
No.
Was it?
It was afterwards.
Oh, okay.
I believe it was even the following Monday. Not
yeah, find out what we really okay. said.
If you don't understand what I'm talking about, then I will bring it up the next time I get another phone call. And I'm just saying I'm getting phone calls complaining about something that we're really not doing. It's something that we talked about, but we're not doing. So,
well, I think the phone calls you're talking about were from the two papers that we talked about for the they have to do with the unions. There were papers that were provided during our board time here.
No, here's some pieces of paper. Take a look at it, and we'll talk about it next time.
Yeah.
And they're off on the grid. See, there's a whole bunch more to put on the grid if that's what we're talking about doing.
Okay.
But if you're not understanding what I'm talking about, I will tell you the next time that I have someone come up and testify at the hearing that we haven't decided on yet. And the transparency is just such an example.
Okay.
So I've had people up here now for 2 weeks talking for and against transparency that we haven't decided on. That's an example.
Well, I think probably if we're not clearly identifying a document as a draft, I think we are. We should make sure that the title says it's a draft. Did those two draft documents that we had for the two union kind of proposals, did they say draft? I think that would be the correction. We need to, unless it's approved after the fact, we have a formal approval process, we've got to make sure they really do say draft, because that may be the confusion part of it.
That would help.
Yeah. Well, I fully agree.
We've had other cases, not just that stuff, other cases of other people putting things up there also.
The problem is how something gets posted and if it's clear what it is that's posted. So alternative 4 is posted and it might say draft, but by posting it before we have had time to talk to that about it, mm-hmm. and say, yeah, we think that's a legitimate draft, it sets up an expectation that it's a foregone conclusion, and it develops a lot of excitement out there in the community about something that I don't know if it's a good idea or not yet. And I'm working on that. So it isn't just if we mark it a draft. The right to work and the transparency. The problem was that was simply a discussion item. And a simple discussion item, even if we have a document that we're looking at that explains how to understand it, the minute that went up on the grid, it was as though this is something positively the commissioners are going to do. And if we say draft, it means, yeah, well, apparently they're going to do this, and this is just their proposed wording so far. But how is the intent, how is our intent interpreted when something mm-hmm. goes up on the grid? That's, to me, the big concern.
I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Yes,
I'm
saying kind of the same thing in a little bit different way. So even if it's a draft, if the draft is only a product of a discussion, it should be discussion document as opposed to draft. So how we describe it when it goes on the grid so that a reasonable person could see that and say, oh, well, that's... they're talking about that.
Good point.
It doesn't mean they've done it, but they're mm-hmm. talking about it.
So would it help that before we leave here that we know of the things we discussed, what things we're going to add to the grid? Would that work?
Well, I think your correction, your suggestion is a very good one, because the expectations are very important and the discussion draft document does not imply it's an automatic, you're going to, you know,
exactly.
It's going to be somehow, expect this to be approved, it's simply being discussed. Versus a draft might be, well, this is, you know, what's
going
to happen,
but
approval.
It might be a sure. little, a little tweak.
That
so
sounds like it.
How we describe it is mm-hmm. critical.
Okay.
Because we can still let the information be out. That's going to stop some of that misunderstanding that, well, somebody threw that out at a meeting, and mm-hmm. now it's going to happen, so they're going to start calling us.
Yeah, an example.
And it may develop into a decision, mm-hmm. but a discussion item mm-hmm. is.
Great. So we have such a thing carried over from the health department this morning, from the health board. We have a proposed or a draft of an ordinance mm-hmm. That we all recognize it as a draft.
Yes.
Is that something that we would agree to put on the grid? I think it would be. As long as we all discuss it.
Well, that was part of our health board
public
packet this morning. Why wouldn't we put that on the grid? In fact, the thing is, here's the thing. It becomes really simple for us to make decisions, and if somehow we don't have any expectations, and then we just shows up with minimum time notice, or at least just standard time notice, and then we make a decision. And we don't get feedback, we don't get those nasty phone calls, and we can govern pretty much unopposed. And that's exactly the opposite we want to do. Transparency says, here's potentially what is coming. We welcome your scrutiny. We want to hear from you. Guide us, because this is a window of opportunity that you could still steer the ship maybe a little differently than what's proposed. And that maximum transparency makes the process potentially better. So that's why that was the reason behind we started putting all the drafts of everything as soon as we got them for our BOCC meetings long ago.
If I have to have prior approval before posting anything on the grid, we're going to grind to a halt.
You must be really busy putting stuff up on the grid.
Well, every staff report that comes to us mm-hmm. for consent goes on the grid. If I have to run it past all three of you before I post it on the grid, we're going to grind to a halt. And I would object to having to do that.
I'm thinking more like it ought to be us that need approval to get something on the grid.
Now, I believe if I can maybe
that's half kidding.
Right. I think there's a dividing line here. I think the calls that Councillor Mielke has received might have been related to documents that were produced by a fellow councillor.
I know that guy.
That magically appeared, and then he got phone calls like, what is this? And he didn't know about it, and that's an awkward place to be. I don't like being in that place myself. But the normal routine conduct of county business, I need to have the freedom to develop the packages and to post them on the grid and to schedule the meetings and bring staff in to answer questions and that sort of thing. There are some consent agendas where we have 20 items. And just imagine me tracking all three of you down, trying to see, can I put this on the grid? Can I put this on the grid?
I honestly don't think the standard process of doing business every day that goes on the grid, I don't think we're even talking about that in this discussion.
Wonderful. That's great.
I'm not. Right. I'm not talking about
it. You better be nice, or I'll bring it back up.
Oh, okay.
But your point is well taken. And when we, who take action on behalf of the mm-hmm. people, something goes up on the grid that we're doing.
Yeah, we're going more of an action type thing, a consideration of action.
Yes.
And so we need to be more clear. So I'll bring it back to that same question I had a minute ago, that draft that was brought up at the health meeting this morning, would that be one that we would agree to put on the grid?
That's part of our public meeting packet.
Yeah.
That's what the grid's for. It's for transparency.
And it was a formal presentation to the Board of Health.
Yes.
So you can consider it. Because we're going to have a public hearing on it.
Yes.
And if you have input for Dr. Melnick, useful to have it in advance of right. noticing the demand, so the ordinance can be reworked if necessary.
Yeah. So unless I had said something today, there's a good chance that this would not be on there.
Correct. If we were to, right, if we so were that, to pose so it, limits on staff, that then it would complicate matters for staff.
Well, so maybe there is a staff component here too, though, about understanding when, you know, so I have a letter here I'm going to hand out. It's part of my staff report, but wasn't part of the board time agenda, which is probably a mistake of my own doing. But, you know, so I think this is a really good conversation because a grid is a great tool, but I think there, and I'll speak for the staff out here, and Anna maybe can jump in because I know she works on these issues too, is for them understanding when exactly something is a go to put it on there or when it isn't, or when it is part of the formal packet or when it isn't. You know, it was talked about, but it wasn't part of the packet. Does it go? So, I mean, I think, I don't know where this conversation ends, but I think it's a good conversation to have from the staff perspective so that we have a real solid understanding of when something is part of that official presentation to you all, part of the decision-making process, so it is posted. One example, we were just, the letter that you guys approved, Holly, because she's the best writer, is over. She's making some changes.
Housekeeping.
And so she, you know, housekeeping change, she's going to make some changes when we go out here. So we just had a sidebar a little bit like, okay, so do we post the one that was presented in the packet or the one that has a couple of clerical fixes?
Well, on that, yeah, the transparency, that whole open government, this is we're doing the people's business government, is to be helpful to them without being confusing to them. The system works for us, we don't work for the system. So in the case, for instance, of the letter, I would think if people want to know, what letter am I talking about? Can I get a copy of it? Well, I would assume that you have the freedom to be able to put it into its final form and post it on the grid when it's ready. And yeah. that's common sense.
I mean, if there were six drafts, you wouldn't publish six drafts.
Yeah.
And that's kind of my point. So we have to agree on that we have an agreed-upon draft, as we do in this case with the health department, so we don't have a different draft coming up every day. So we have something that we're aware of, and we recognize it as a draft until we say, hey, no, that looks like we're going to accept that, minus dotting the I's and crossing the T's. Because we can confuse people as much as we could inform people.
A clear message about what it is they're reading.
And yes.
And what is it?
What is it and why is it up here?
And what expectation do you
and
have?
And because they will draw an expectation from that, so we need to have that be as clear as possible.
I think, do we agree on that? Yeah, as long as we're aware of where we are, that kind of lets the rest of us know what we're doing. Can I give you an idea before I put something on the grid that you'll have an idea of what I'm doing or an agreement that what I put on the grid was the draft.
And I think your solution, because I think we're already, the standard practice is to put draft in front of your draft documents, but we never didn't have this, what'd you call it? Discussion documents.
Discussion.
That's a new category that I think.
Discussion documents.
Is a great idea. Mm-hmm. So.
Can I make one suggestion?
Uh-huh.
I don't know whether technically it's possible, so I'm just trying to figure out a way to make it clear for not only us people who look at it, is what if the grid were divided into categories, discussion documents? Mark doesn't like that idea.
We can, you know, we can do what you intend and live within the columns that we have, because they can put headings, discussion documents, and list the documents under there.
Okay, so yeah, that's basically what I'm saying.
Yes.
Somewhere,
yes.
Put a label under which the appropriate document would go.
And they're already
discussion document, draft document for action. Then there's amendments and a final version.
But when we post documents on the grid, we post them in the order they appear on the agenda. So now you're going to have an agenda that has document 1, 2, 3, and 4, but then they're going to be grouped over here in categories. So which one goes where? I think we're making this way more complex than it needs to be. And as a person who manages the process, I'd like it to stay simple.
I think you're right. We need to keep it simple. So I don't like to be surprised by getting calls that something's up on the grid that I haven't seen or reviewed, even if it's a draft. So, you know, maybe we can just find a sensible way to work it out and let Mark and his staff be at peace.
So it's the draft then. There's a difference between a draft and a draft with proposed action.
Or a proposed draft.
Yeah, so in other words, it's still a draft when you say, this is what we're going to bring forward for action. It's still a draft up to that point, right? But we just have to indicate that it's a final draft, or it could be possible action on this draft.
Well, let me be clear what I want, what I think I need to be a responsible council member.
We can't get clear on this. How are you going to explain it? Go ahead.
I need not to see any document posted on the grid as a product of the commission that I haven't seen, read, and understood or participated in the conversation.
That works.
And after that, it's just a matter of how we describe it.
Okay. But this way, we're going to be more aware of it.
Yes.
Don't surprise you, don't surprise me.
I think that's true. None of us want to be surprised. I think we do understand that.
All right.
What else you got?
I'm done.
The brief discussion, new Washington State Trust Fund.
Okay, the Public Trust Fund. I just wanted to expand that conversation a little bit. We did agree to a letter that we're going to be sending that's for a specific project. But the issue of the Public Works Trust Fund and some recent information that's developing about that, it is a wonderful resource for counties, for cities, and has been one of the most useful tools that state government has had available to us. So the preservation of the Public Works Trust Fund, which is in some question at the current moment, and not only just preservation, but restoration of the funding for it, so that jurisdictions can get low interest, sometimes smaller size loans for road projects at these intergovernmental interest rates. That has just been a crucial thing. So, I would like permission from the commissioners to be communicating with WASAC about that, mm-hmm. with Mike Burgess about us advocating mm-hmm. for that, mm-hmm. and with Heath or Mr. McCauley or anybody else who's working on that, for our voice to join strongly in that. That is such a useful tool. And I know that 5 years ago there was a plan to take that money that was in reserve and send it off to some virtually project that not a single AWC member that was on the executive legislative board. We were just shaking our heads. So this has been under that trust fund has been under attack before. It's under attack again. And if we can lend a strong voice to preservation and refunding of that.
And Clark County's been extraordinarily successful in obtaining those loans. We've been very aggressive and funded a lot of great projects.
And we've saved tons of money in interest. And it's not the same interim of time from the time you need the money till you have to wait to get in the queue to get it. Transportation money, it's our infrastructure. It builds us, so...
If
that's okay with you, I appreciate it.
Okay. Do you need anything on that?
No, if I do, I will come to you and to you. And Mark hears that we're going to be working together. I'll work with Mark. I'll work with Heath and anybody else.
Okay.
So the other item is the CREDC. State Department of Commerce allocates a certain amount of ADO, and that's area. What is that acronym? Yes. Associated Development Organizations. We have designated CREDC as our ADO for Clark County. It's time for that grant funding or funding to be renewed, and sometime early in April, the letter will be coming from the Department of Commerce asking us again if, well, they'll notify us to designate an ADO in our area. We've done that for several years. I'm not sure how far back that history goes. It's about, it could be up to $160,000 per year. So, as your representative on CREDC, they have prepared their budget, and they have a few items in a holding pattern, and that money is one of them. So until we get that letter and make sure that we're going to direct that, ask Department of Commerce to do that.
I believe last year it was $275,000.
2 years ago?
Yeah, it would have been it because it's they distribute it annually, but they budget biennially. So $328,000, it's reduced now because the state budgets are all reduced.
Okay.
So it's $328,600
biennium.
For the 2 year, yeah, for the biennium. Which is, it'll be 15 to 17. And then it will be distributed at the rate of $164,300.
And what does ADO stand for?
ADO is Associated Development Organization. They are the regional ADO. And they have certain requirements they have to meet to do that. So
heads up.
Heads up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
That's it.
All right. 4.1 staff reports, parks master plan update, vision goals and vision and goals.
Yeah, you have, I think, in your packet, the 9 or 10 step planner.
Mm-hmm.
I think, which one is that? The first one?
Yep.
Consistent with the desire of the board to be engaged. Pardon?
That's a work session?
Yes. And that's consistent with your desire to be involved in the process?
Yes.
And so I think we have
process.
Approval.
Where are we?
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for it.
It's the second to last page. So I assume that we're all going to get the documents ahead of time so we can do our homework and have more meaningful conversations?
I'm certain that that will be the case, yeah.
Great. Sure. I think they're both good. I've looked over both of them.
Okay. And the second one is, and both of these belong to Heath, so he can elaborate on either one. But as part of the transportation improvement program process, we like to get out ahead of y'all and show you what we're thinking for the next
Great.
6 years. And
thank you.
So if we have the green light, we'll get descheduled.
Oh, yeah. You good, Tom?
Yeah.
Okay.
Green
Thank
lights.
You.
Okay. Moving on.
I just want to make sure he doesn't put on Hazeldale on that.
Okay. That's 4.1.
Yeah, we're going to have a surprise for you.
Oh, that's both of those, 4.1 and 2. Okay. Do you have anything more, Tom?
No, sir.
You have anything more?
No, sir.
Mark, you have anything more?
No, I'm
Tim. Tip.
Okay. Axel?
You get at least one thing here. This is a letter. You may have seen it. You may not have. We'll probably be better off discussing it next week. I'll give you a quick overview. It's from the board of CDM, local nonprofit here that you are, I think all three of you have toured them and you're familiar with the services
mm-hmm.
they provide. Long story short, they sent this letter to the board of county councilors and to the Veterans Advisory Board. They they have, I think, long served veterans at their facility, and they have done that through funding from the VA. That funding over time has decreased. I think the letter mentioned something about a 50% decrease over time. It's kind of become a funding source that doesn't make sense for the organization, according to the letter. And they are looking, I think, for help. It's about $50,000 a year out of their budget for services for veterans. And so they reached out to our Veterans Advisory Board. I think they got some positive indication, praise from them, that they appreciate what they do. I'm not sure where the Veterans Advisory Board came down on where the funding should come from, but they have also reached out to you, the council, potentially for looking into the next budget year for maybe some funding for them for what the services they provide from the Veterans Relief Fund. So it's kind of a lot of information. I have not had a chance to talk with Bob or our budget office about this yet. I will. I did have a brief conversation with Samantha over there, who helps us manage the Veterans Advisory Board. She's aware of it. She understands what's being asked, but my intention would be to bring back this conversation next week with a few more details.
So basically the action here is read, research, consider, and the bottom line ask, they want $50,000 per year from our general fund?
They don't go that far. They say this will leave a $50,000 hole in the adult daycare center budget. But it really just finishes by saying, you know, we respectfully ask the Board of Counselors and the CCBAB to consider us for funding in the upcoming budget year so they can continue.
From what source?
Again, I don't think they specify, and I don't think when they went to the Veterans Advisory Board they necessarily specified. I think there was some intention that maybe the Veterans Relief Fund could be used for this kind of service, but that hadn't been fully analyzed.
I would think that the advisory board would weigh in on that first, because that's why they're there. That's a big deal.
And I believe to some degree they did. And I've got to work this. Samantha sent it to me, kind of some minutes from that, but it's still a little unclear to me to what degree the advisory board supported it. I think obviously they do support the services, and I just don't know if they went as far as to say, and we think I think they left it to the council to decide general fund dollars.
It sounds premature for you to bring it to us without first bringing it to them and having them take a position on it. I would say pass it to them. It's their round.
This has been brought to the Veterans Advisory Board.
But they didn't do anything.
I had a meeting with Samantha and the leaders of the Veterans Advisory Committee, and Sam brought that letter to that meeting and handed it to me in that meeting, and the leadership of the Veterans Advisory Committee expressed support for this.
Well, we have done funding before. We did it through PIC and a couple of other nonprofit organizations. It has to do with Budget Bob sharing with the Veterans Advisory or Veterans Relief Fund what their income is a year. And I think right now it's just over $400,000 a year. And they're using about $375,000 of that a year. So they're going to have to look at the math of that. Or they'll be taking the money out of the reserve and it doesn't get replenished. Unless you raise the tax.
You put it on. So still some work to be done on this. I just wanted you to have the letter and know that the request had been made.
You know, in the past, if I recall right, we gave, I think PIC was getting, but they were targeted. PIC was job-related for women veterans.
Just partners in careers.
Yes. And the only thing that happened is that they didn't produce us with any names or people they served. But I thought we were given, right? I thought they were collecting $1,800 a month. That's not $50,000. We might take a look and see what else is coming out of that, because when you looked at that before, there was few other things that were coming out of there in behalf of the vets. But that board does make that decision as long as they're within their budget.
And as long as they're eligible expenses and eligible people.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's
So a couple points that I'm interested in. So beginning in 2008, they opened their center, assuming that the Veterans Administration...
were a major part of the business plan.
Yeah. Why somebody would make that assumption without concrete evidence? So that's one question I would have about how they plan for facilities and advocacy and, you know, helping for success. I think another question is, how can it be possible that VA funding for whatever they're asking for the money for has fallen to 50% of its original level?
Sue.
Yeah, I think that's a good question.
Is it because they've changed what they do, or they've changed, they don't meet certain criteria, and so VA is saying we pay at a lesser rate for the work you're doing? So, and who sits on the Veterans Board?
Not me.
Do you sit on there? Do we have a commissioner that sits on there? Maybe not.
Maybe you appoint them. It's a citizen advisory board.
Yeah.
Huh?
It's a citizen board, not a...
But, you know, you mentioned
something.
But
the money comes through the county.
Correct.
You mentioned something that's really intriguing, because the Veterans Administration more recently has stepped up and is funding care for veterans outside the Veterans Affairs
exactly.
thing. So it could be a little bit more complicated to get money from them,
mm-hmm.
but it's... a good possibility.
Yeah, and if it is true across the board, then of course I know we're busy with other things, but to advocate for more adequate VA funding too, we wouldn't want to miss an opportunity for that.
In that new rule, it says if you can't get provided services within 30 days, you can apply for outside funding.
Right, and outside services. I'm in support. Wait a minute. It already went to the Veterans Advisory Board?
It did.
And
it sounds like Mark might have more information. I did talk to Samantha today, but he was actually there, talked with her, and I just need to clarify what actually came out of it.
It sounds like, and I haven't read it, every time I saw it here, so it sounds like there is a question. Would they be in support of using their fund
right.
to fund this? That's their question. And they haven't
right.
answered that. So I would think the natural step forward would be to have them answer that question.
And what I got from Samantha, it's kind of coming back to the forefront of my head here, is they were open to that. That question actually was raised by an advisory board member when they made the motion of support, and the answer was it could, but we'll let the counselors decide where the funding comes from.
Okay.
It was a little...
Well, yeah,
it was a little bold.
Yeah,
be their judgment.
Yeah.
They've got this here, and then they went a little over here.
Well,
so
it really has to do with defining the question
yeah.
and defining the potential source of funds. And perhaps we didn't ask the right question for them. And the question it would be to them, would you be willing to have the fund that you steward, that you recommend, be the source of this, yes or no?
Okay.
And it's a recommendation that would come forward to us, because if they don't say yes, then the default answer is no, don't take it from their fund.
I think they need to get an answer from Budget Bob how much they have left in their fund. They don't have $50,000 extra.
Well, the other question is how much?
Annually. Yeah.
So, okay. Anything else?
I'm good.
Time for a motion.
Anything? Peter, anything?
The Reserve Officers Board of Trustees. That's one of the boards that's called as needed, and you represent part of that board. And you're going to receive a call from the or appointment request from the Sheriff's Office because he'd like to convene that board for a purpose. One of the things I discovered, though, on your board list of assignments, I think it currently lists Commissioner Milkey as
that's correct.
The
representative, I'm thinking that's correct.
Commissioner McGill is the alternate, but you get two representatives on that board, according to the RCW, which says two representatives from the county legislative body.
Oh, at one time? So, two at one time?
Yeah, that's what it says, two representatives from the county legislative body. So if you want two representatives, two you can attend, or you could designate another alternative, one you can't make it.
Did they have conflicts with this time?
Well, they sent an invitation to me, and I said, you need to invite the commissioners that are the actual representatives on the board, and I think they'll attempt to reschedule it for a different time. But so I'm just giving you a heads up, but also if you want to delegate somebody else as an alternate in case one or both of the commissioners can't make it that are currently listed.
I don't know anything about the board, what they do, or if they're actually making decisions allocating funds, or what they do. Can we find out?
Write a summary for you.
Okay.
As soon as we put you on that board, you'll find out.
Yeah. Well, you've been sitting on. Have you been? You know.
I haven't been to one.
Okay. So let's find out. Help us to understand, okay? If they've got minutes and agendas we look at from the past, that would be. So they have a. I assume they have a website somewhere that would describe that.
I'll look into it.
Okay. Thank you very much. I don't have anything else. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.